back at the dissection table, let's assume we set up a powerful microscope, cut a thin slice from the cortical sheet, stain some of the cells, and take a look at our handiwork through the eyepiece. If we stained all the cells in our slice, we'd see a solid black mass because the cells are so tightly packed and intermingled. But if we use a stain that marks a smaller fraction of cells, we can see the six layers I mentioned. These layers are formed by variations in the density of cell bodies, cell types, and their connections. All neurons have features in common. Apart from a cell body, which is the roundish part you imagine when you think of a cell, they also have branching, wire-like structures called axons and dendrites. When the axon from one neuron touches the dendrite of another, they form small connections called synapses. Synapses are where the nerve impulse from one cell influences the behavior of another cell. A neural signal, or spike, arriving at a synapse can make it more likely for the recipient cell to spike. Some synapses have the opposite effect, making it less likely the recipient cell will spike. Thus, synapses can be inhibitory or excitatory. The strength of a synapse can change depending on the behavior of the two cells. The simplest form of this synaptic change is that when two neurons generate a spike at nearly the same time, the connection strength between the two neurons will be increased. I will say more about this process, called Hebbian learning, a bit later. In addition to changing the strength of a synapse, there is evidence that entirely new synapses can be formed between two neurons. This may be happening all the time, although the scientific evidence is controversial. Regardless of the details of how synapses change their strength, what is certain is that the formation and strengthening of synapses is what causes memories to be stored. While there are many types of neurons in the neocortex, one broad class of them comprises 8 out of every 10 cells. These are the pyramidal neurons, so-called because their cell bodies are shaped roughly like pyramids. Except for the top layer of the 6-layered cortex, which has miles of axons but very few cells, every layer contains pyramidal cells. Each pyramidal neuron connects to many other neurons in its immediate neighborhood, and each sends a lengthy axon laterally out to more distant regions of cortex, or down to lower brain structures like the thalamus. A typical pyramidal cell has several thousand synapses. Again, it is very difficult to know exactly how many because of their extreme density and small size. The number of synapses varies from cell to cell, layer to layer, and region to region. If we were to take the conservative position that the average pyramidal cell has 1,000 synapses, the actual number is probably close to 5 or 10,000, then our neocortex would have roughly 30 trillion synapses altogether. That is an astronomically large number, well beyond our intuitive grasp. It is apparently sufficient to store all the things you can learn in a lifetime.